You may be seated. Wasn't that good worship? Amen? Good stuff. Good stuff. I retired about 2.5 years ago after I pastored in Denver for 20 years, and I moved to the Missouri Ozarks. We live up in the Ozark Mountains. We live 20 miles out of town, and our nearest neighbor is a half mile away. And it was an adjustment for us. You know, I was born and raised in Detroit, and my wife was born and raised on the prairie in North Dakota, but she became a city girl, and we decided we were going to move to the Missouri Ozarks. And we got there, and you know, the disappointing thing is my two favorite foods to eat, Mexican food and Chinese food. Have you ever had Mexican food and Chinese food cooked by hillbillies? I'm telling you, man, it's the worst stuff I've ever eaten. I found this Chinese restaurant. I went to Springfield. I had to have a test done. And I went to this Chinese restaurant in Springfield, and I went in there. And of course, what attracted me was from 2 to 3:30, if you are a senior citizen, which I am, you can eat for $4.99. I didn't know how good the food was, but the price was right. How many times have you done that, gone to a place because the price was right? So I went in there and I ate, and I thought it was pretty good food. So when I got home, my wife said, "Well, how was the food?" And I said, "It was pretty good." She goes, "Yeah, but your taste, you know, you like anything." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I saw a lot of Chinese people in there eating Chinese food." And she said, "I'm sold. Let's go." I'm going to ask you to bow with me for prayer. Father, we want to take this time to thank you again for this privilege and opportunity to be here. What a great day it's been, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to be here and to see brothers and sisters that I haven't seen for a long time. But most importantly, I thank you for the privilege of being able to preach the gospel. Thank you, Father. Be with us this afternoon. Just move on us. We continue to ask you to be present and Jesus to be present and the Holy Spirit to be present for the three of you to do your work among us. Just bathe us in your love and send us home with a deeper walk and deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was visiting with Brother Robert Coulter Thanksgiving time, and we were having a good conversation, and we were talking about how the church has really grown in its understanding of biblical truth. And one of the things Brother Coulter said to me was, "You know, Mike, the church hasn't always had an accurate understanding of salvation like we do today." And I was thinking about that, and I was really, really impressed with that comment, because I can remember as a kid growing up in the church, and from what I learned then and what we're preaching and teaching now, the church has really grown in its understanding of grace and mercy and salvation, and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. God's salvation that He has extended to us is a work of total grace that God gave to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, some of the things I may say to you this afternoon may be a little bit of what we talked about this morning, because you can't talk about, and this morning, this afternoon, we're going from salvation to glorification. We really can't talk about that without hitting on some of the things that we talked about this morning. You know, sometimes people say to me, "Well, I want to hear the deep things of Scripture." But folks, I don't know of anything deeper in the Scripture than Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins because He loved me. Amen to that? Amen. Nothing deeper than that. I can't think of anything deeper than that. I've studied Bible prophecy, and I've studied other things, but I always come back to this because for somehow, some way, it just takes me deeper in my walk and relationship with God and develops in me a deeper love. I share with you this morning that God loved us not when we were good people. You remember me saying that to you this morning? God loved us when you and I were some of the worst people. I know I was. And I know some of you probably were. But he loved us when we were in sin. You know, I think I read to you, I quoted you Romans 5:8 this morning, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. See that? God didn't wait till we were good enough. God didn't wait till we were great enough. God sent his son Jesus to die for us because we were bad enough and we needed his salvation. And only Jesus Christ could provide that for us. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Do you realize that God loves you and me with the same level and intensity of love that he loves the Lord Jesus? And I've used that over the years. When I came to that understanding, I couldn't believe it. To me, it was the most profound thing that I came across. And I had people who said, it's hard for me to believe that God loves me with the same level and intensity of love that he loves the Lord Jesus. And the answer is yes. And Jesus even said that. I want to read this text to you. It's John 17, 22, and 23. I'm going to say it two times. John 17, 22 and 23. Okay, and listen to what it says. Jesus said this in his prayer to the Father, "The glory that you have given me, I give to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one." And now listen carefully. "So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." Did you catch that? That God sent Jesus to love us just like God loved Jesus. I mean, is there anything more profound than that? Anything more profound in understanding that God loves me the same way he loved the Lord Jesus? To me, that's amazing. God's love to me is amazing. Now, folks, I know it's been a long day. You know, you have full tummies. And you might want to doze off. My wife asked me, "How you doing, Mike?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing pretty good." I said, "My stomach's full. My pants are dry. What more could I ask for?" But this thing about loving God and God loving us is sometimes difficult for us to grasp. But I want us to understand that Jesus is the revelation of God. It is difficult to comprehend because sometimes we think, well, in order for God to love me, I've got to keep all the commandments perfectly. None of us can keep them perfectly. That's why God sent Jesus. And it's not, God's love has nothing to do with how good I am. God loved me when I was in sin. He loved you when you were in sin. He loved us when we were outside of Jesus Christ with the same level and intensity of love that he loved the Lord Jesus. Why else would he send his only begotten Son to die for a world of people who are filled with sin? I want to talk to you about the doctrine of being saved. You know, we have church doctrines. I don't think we have one on the doctrine of salvation, but I'm calling it the doctrine of being saved. And I want you to listen. Do you realize that the gospel is simple enough to understand that even a child can understand the gospel message? You realize that? How many of you came to Christ when you were a child? Let me see your hands. A lot of us came to Christ when we were children. You know, when I was pastoring in Sacramento some years back, I had somebody ask me to go to a rest home to visit a lady who was 101 years old. Never accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. So I sat down and I held her hand and we talked for quite a while. And I asked her a few questions about salvation, and she said to me, "I've never received Jesus as my personal Savior." I said, "Don't you think it's time?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, "But I don't know how to pray." I said, "You just repeat after me." And so I prayed this prayer, a simple prayer. And she accepted Christ at 101 years old. And she started crying. It was such a cute cry. It was just But I remember leaving there almost emotionally, thinking that this lady lived 101 years and she finally found Jesus. Folks, it's never too late. And then I remember when my granddaughter was 5 years old, I'd been talking to her about Jesus. We sat down on her bed. I explained to her the gospel message, and she prayed and received Christ because she understood the gospel. That's how simple it is. And yet it's the deepest thing that you and I could ever try and understand. From a biblical perspective, salvation is sometimes referred to in three phases or three tenses, three different tenses. We talk about salvation past, which is justification that we talked about this morning. We talked about salvation present, which is that progressive sanctification that we're all involved in. We're all growing and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And then there is also salvation future, which is glorification. Listen to these texts that I want to share with you concerning these three phases of salvation. Paul said, talking about justification, he said, "We have been saved." Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God." You can't work it out. You can't buy it, you can't work it out. It's a gift of God. But notice what Paul said, "You have been saved." So that's justification, that's salvation past. Then Paul talks about justification, he talks about progressive sanctification. We are being saved, we're in the process of it. 1 Corinthians 1:18, and if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm repeating the text twice because my wife said, "You make sure you repeat that text twice." Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are," what? What does it say? "Being saved, it is the power of God." That's that progressive sanctification that we talked about this morning. And then there's glorification, which is salvation future. We will be saved. 1 Peter 1:5. And 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who through faith," that's us, "are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." It's when Jesus Christ returns and we become just like him in every way. Because when we see him, we'll be just like him, be made just like him. Paul told the Roman church, and this can be sometimes hard for us to grasp, that observing law, whether it's the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments, whatever, by observing law, you cannot be saved by observing law, because Paul said that what the law does is not save us. But what the law does is it points out sin. It points out our need for Jesus. Folks, not eating certain things, not keeping certain days, doesn't save me. I'm saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. Folks, it's not salvation through Jesus Christ plus, it's salvation through Jesus Christ. Period. Amen? Amen? Okay. Observing law does not save us. It makes us conscious of sin. I'll share something with you that happened over 20 years ago. No, not 20, it's about 15. I was doing an evangelism training someplace like
And anyway, we were talking about some of this stuff that I'm talking to you about now. We had somebody there who had wandered away from God and wandered away from the church. And so we were working on testimonies, and this person stood up and said, "You know, I had wandered away from God, and I got out of the church, and I started selling drugs, and I started doing drugs. But I want you to know there's two things I never did. I never ate pork. And I never sold drugs on the Sabbath." Like that's going to save me. Okay? It doesn't save anybody. I'm going to read you some verses, and I want you to listen to this. I'm going to try and keep you awake, and I'm not going to try to keep you too long, because I know you're tired. But this is important stuff, people. Listen, this is what I'm going to tell you. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. This is from Our Daily Bread, October 11, 1992. Listen to this. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her, wanted to buy food for his sick and wounded Rough Riders, but she refused to sell him any food. Roosevelt was perplexed. His men needed the help, and he was prepared to pay it out of his own funds. When he asked someone why he could not buy the supplies, he was told, "Colonel, just ask for it." Smile broke over Roosevelt's face, and now he understood the provisions were not for sale. All he had to do was simply ask for them, and they would be freely given to him. You see that? That's the way salvation is. Can't earn it. Can't buy it. Can't do anything to get it. But you ask for it through Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins. And it's given to us. Here's what Paul said. I'm going to read to you from Romans 3:20. "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Did you catch that? I can keep the Sabbath better than the legalists. I can purge my diet of anything unclean. I can keep every one of those Ten Commandments. And without having Jesus Christ in my life, I am as lost as the guy who doesn't do any of that. Because it comes through Jesus Christ, period. Remember I told you that? It's Jesus Christ, period. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9. Here's what he said, 2 Timothy 1:9. "He has saved us and called us to a holy life." That's what God's called us to, is a holy life. "Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." Now listen to this. "This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time." See that? God had intended to extend his grace to us through Jesus Christ before time even began, because he knew that you and I were going to need it. And then here's what he told Titus in Titus 3:4-5. Titus 3:4-5. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Two things God extended to us when he gave us salvation. He extended to us his grace, and he extended to us his mercy. And I'm going to give you two simple definitions of grace and mercy. Grace is getting what I don't deserve. And mercy is not getting what I do deserve. You and I, we didn't deserve grace, but we got it anyway. And you and I deserve to die for our own sins, but God gave us mercy, and we didn't get what we deserve. See how beautiful that is?
Amen.
Is there anything deeper than that? I don't understand how God could do it. There is no way. I have one son,
and two daughters. There's no way I could give up my son to die for you. But somehow God did it. His only begotten son. And you talk about deep. There's nothing shallow about that. Because I think that everybody here who has a child wouldn't be able to give up their child to save somebody else who we felt would deserve it. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to give us a future and to give us a hope. And that's what we have through Jesus Christ.
Okay. I want to share with you just a little bit. There are four things I want to talk about this issue of salvation. The first one I've already shared with you is we're saved through Christ. Okay. The second thing is we're saved to serve Christ. First, we're saved through Christ, and I just shared that with you. But now I want to talk to you a little bit about we're saved to serve Christ. Proof of my salvation. I can stand up all day long and I can say to you, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. But you know where the proof of my salvation really is? It's not in what I say. It's what I do, and it's how I'm living my life every day. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's what he said, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So, as Christians, we are a new creation. And the old Mike Vlad ought to be gone and the new Mike Vlad ought to be evident to all of you. Okay? You know, I've struggled with that in my lifetime. I haven't always been that new creation. But God's doing a work in me. Now listen to this. And I've shared this with you before. You can't work hard enough to make God love you more. And I got to be honest with you. I've come across a lot of our people over the years who they just can't seem to get that. Somehow, some way, you know, some of our people have gotten this idea that the more I work, the harder I work, the harder I believe in the right things, as long as I believe in the right doctrine, as long as I practice the right things, as long as I keep that law like I'm supposed to, God is going to love me more. And so you know what happens? We spend our lives spinning our wheels trying to do that, and we're still not satisfied thinking that God's going to love us more. See, because God's love isn't based on anything you and I can do. Jesus said this, in John 14:23, here's what he said. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Did you catch that? If you love Jesus, what are you going to do? What did he say? Anybody who loves me will obey my teaching. So if you love Jesus, you will do what? Obey his teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come into them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So you see, our obedience to Jesus Christ isn't to make Jesus Christ love us more. Our obedience to Jesus Christ is to show Jesus Christ we love him. I love what Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, okay? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. And that's what God created us to do. Remember this morning I told you that God predestined us to be created in the image, recreated in the image of Jesus. Well, God also predestined his children to walk in righteousness and holiness. That's what Paul's saying in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what God wants us to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this again. Obedience and good works does not save us. Obedience and good works proves that we love God and we love Jesus. Third thing, we're saved to become like Christ. And I just mentioned that to you. Glorification is becoming like Jesus. That's what it is. It's becoming like Jesus.
Justification is salvation past, practical salvation is salvation present, and glorification is salvation future. It is the final, when Jesus Christ returns, it is the final removal of sin that you and I will battle from the cradle to the grave. And when Jesus Christ returns, listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. We use this at funerals all the time. I just did two funerals this last 2 weeks, and on one of them I used this text. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, listen, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's not just encouragement for funerals. This tells me that when Jesus Christ returns and the trumpet sounds and I am changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's when I experience my glorification. Because at that moment, my sinful nature will die and be gone, and I am going to become just like Jesus. Amen. Just like Jesus. I love what John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. And we will be, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. You'll notice Paul didn't say when he appears he's going to be like us. Heaven forbid. He said when he appears, we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. That means we go from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, and that's when we experience glorification. Does that excite you? It excites me. You ought to be excited about it. Here's the last one. Okay, I told you that we were saved by Christ. We're saved to serve Christ. We're saved to become like Christ. And here's the last one. We're saved to spend eternity with Christ. Saved to spend eternity with Jesus. And you know what? You have to spend eternity with me, so you better like me now, because when you get into the kingdom, you're going to have to spend eternity with me. But that's the way it is. We're saved to spend eternity with Jesus. I want to close with this. I want you always to remember that we are justified because of Christ. We are being sanctified through Christ, and we are saved only by Christ. We're saved only by Christ. And folks, this world is not our hope. Our future glorification when Christ returns is our ultimate hope. Okay? We are saved by grace through Jesus Christ, period. And now we've moved this morning. We've talked about justification, sanctification, we've talked about salvation, and we've moved to glorification. There's nothing deeper than that. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a minute. I don't know. This is not an altar call, so don't worry. This is an appeal to you. You know, some of you came here today. I don't know what you were expecting, but some of you came here today. I think some of you came with broken hearts. I think some of you maybe came here with Some of you are having a hard time letting go of your past. Some of you are struggling with guilt and shame from things that have happened. Do you know that when you ask God to forgive you, Jeremiah 31, 34, 33 and 34 says that the new covenant, part of the new covenant is that God will forgive you of your sins and he'll remember your sins and iniquities no more. Put it away. Let go of all that. Let go of whatever's holding on to you or whatever you're holding on to that doesn't break you free so that you can really experience the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart. That's what he wants you to experience. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together this morning and then this afternoon. We talked about justification, sanctification, salvation, glorification. We talked about Jesus Christ, that the only way that we're going to be saved is through Jesus Christ, period. There's nothing that we can believe in. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can practice. There's nothing that we cannot do that will save us. It's saved. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, we're saved to be obedient to you because we want to show you that we love you. Send us home with that. That's the deepest stuff that we can come up with. There's nothing deeper. And I thank you for that, Father, that you made that plan before the creation of the world. We thank you, Lord. Every one of us here was at one time we were lost. Some of us were just good kids that grew up in church. We were still lost because we didn't know Jesus. Some of us were rotten through and through. And we weren't good people, but we were and lost. But when we came to Christ, you cleaned us up. All of us, whether we were going to church unsaved or out in the world doing rotten things, you cleaned us all up. And set us on a course to become just like Jesus. Father, I'm so grateful and thankful that all the stupid, ignorant stuff I did, you've forgotten. Because you extended to me your forgiveness. And all the stupid, ignorant stuff that all of us did, you dropped it, forgot it, because you extended us to us your forgiveness. And every time we think of something in our mind that we did years ago and now we ask for forgiveness for and say, "Oh, Father, forgive me for that." You say it was for what? I don't remember it. I forgot it long ago. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, if anyone here has struggled in their walking relationship with you and has fallen away, bring them back. Amen. Anybody is here, having never made a commitment to Christ, help them to make that commitment to Christ. And send the Church of God Seventh Day a revival and a renewal and an awakening like we've never seen before. Because, Father, when we come to a right understanding of justification, sanctification, salvation, and glorification, when we can get that right, we'll get right everything else that you want us to have, because that's foundational to our faith and walk in relationship with you. Bless us now, Father.